Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann, and thank you for joining us today on Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. If you've been listening, you know that we are a podcast and radio show focused on infertility and miscarriage, but we have also grown to talk about adoption and foster care and child loss and singleness, so many things in between. We just want to be here for you and your family as life might look a little different than what you pictured at this time, and just how the Lord can use that time of waiting for His glory if you let Him. So thank you so much for listening in today. I have a sweet friend sitting beside me today. If you're watching, you'll see her sitting here. Her name is Lindsay, and she is on the program for the first time today, and I'm excited to have her here right now as you are listening to this. It is May. It is Foster Care Awareness Month, and so she is here to talk about how she and her family have gotten involved in foster care and what their life has looked like since. So, Lindsay, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Just a little background story of my family. My husband and I were kind of later in life getting married, and I think when we first started dating, I was like, I'm going to have a child by 30, whether like I have the child or I adopt. And he just kind of, you know, like looked at me and he was like, pump the brakes. So come to find out, we got married when we were 29. We had our first daughter at 30, and then I had another one at 33. So we had some issues that my health was a little different with both pregnancies. And so therefore, after the second one, we were just told, hey, we probably need to just be thankful for what we have. And so we decided that we still wanted more children in our family. So we had always kind of talked about adoption, and everybody knows adoptions is expensive with an agency. And so we did a home study with a social worker that we had open for about 3 years.
Okay.
And we were just hoping that, you know, we would find a child or a family would find a family that needed a forever family.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out. My husband was probably more open to the foster care world than I was at the time. I can admit I'm a little selfish, and when I thought of foster care, I was like, I just don't want to have to give a child back. Like, you know, I want us to raise them and then be a part of our family. So I saw where somebody had posted a Facebook post that said, you know, foster families were needed, and I talked with my husband, Jonathan, and he was like, well, let's kind of look at that. And so we did, and couple months later, here we are.
Because really, we're going to get into y'all's story, but y'all technically haven't been involved in foster care very long at all. Like, when did you get licensed?
So we applied the end of June of 2024, and we were licensed the last week in October of 2024.
Okay.
So, it, you know, there's a process. There's lots of paperwork.
Lots of paperwork. They get to know you. I always say, like, they know you more than, like, your parents end up knowing
you.
With all the questions they ask.
You know, questions, your health, your finances, you know, how you discipline and, you know, raise your kids and
your marriage, how do you argue, all the things.
So, it, you know, it's a lot. And not just like us, like, you know, how's your relationship with your extended family and stuff. So it's definitely an eye-opener.
Yeah.
But it was also, you know, the process that we had to do. So
when you... when you ended up starting the process, were you like all in at that point, or were you still like, I'm not real sure?
No, we were all in together. And with our girls, we were very, very open about the process. And like, this is, you know, our job is to take care of a child while their mom or dad are sick and until they get better. And so we were very, and that's one thing I can say, we were very open with our children just because it was going to be emotional for all of us at one point in time, but we all needed to know
what to expect.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people that say that that's a reason why they don't want to get involved in foster care is because they don't want their own children to hurt, you know, if a child, because there's a lot involved in foster care, from family visits to court dates to a child possibly going back, you know. So was that something that y'all thought about? Or
yes, I talked to other foster moms and they were like, you know, it's good to have your kids sometimes in therapy just so that they can share their feelings, because, you know, they may be willing to share other feelings that they don't want to share with you, you know.
Sure.
And so we talked about that. Our girls handled our situation very well, and we're proud of them for that. Yeah. I think it also, how they handled things is also how we handled things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they related to us better.
Gotcha. One. Our situation was different. We didn't have biological children as we got involved in foster care. And so we didn't have that to think about. But as an outsider looking in, it just seems like your kids are watching you be the hands and feet of Jesus in your house, you know? I don't know. I know that it could seem like we do need to protect our children from that hurt that could come, but also they're learning to love like Christ, you know?
100%. And, you know, I tell some other moms, like, do we want to keep them in a bubble all their lives? Yes,
we do.
But also they have to learn what they should do and what God calls us to do. Yeah. You know, I think it's James 1:27, you know, God calls us to take care of orphans and widows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to teach our kids that we need to take care of his people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so you said you got licensed in October.
So we got licensed in October on a Monday at like 9 a.m. And from that day until that Friday, so just 5 days, I took 13 placement calls.
Wow.
And so in foster care, there's ages like 0 to 5 and then 6 to 12, I think, and then 13 and on up. And so our area was 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And in the state of Mississippi, they will call you even though you put 0 to 5 for
it does not.
Any other child. So, you know, we also had, like, I guess in our, what was suitable to bring into our house with our own biological kids. So we preferred an infant if possible. And our baby girl that we got to live in our house for a little while, she was the 13th call.
Wow.
Of that week.
And what led you to say, because obviously that's a God thing, you know, like you could have taken the first call or the fifth call,
right,
you know, but you said yes to her.
Well, I just think with like what we had in our mind, like we wanted an infant, we preferred one like 1 year younger.
Okay.
And so the other ones had been older children. And so when we got this call, she was 3 days old.
Okay.
So.
Bitty, bitty girl.
Yeah. So we brought her home from the hospital.
Wow.
She was 4 days old. We treated her just like if she was one of our own.
Mm-hmm. Had that baby some monogram stuff.
my girls came home in a certain gown, and I was able to find her one and get her name monogrammed on it. And then, you know, we also took some newborn pictures because, you know, I wanted her to know that somebody loved her just like theirs at the very beginning when she was born.
Yes.
So that was, that's probably one of my things that she will have for the rest of her life is her newborn pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm so thankful that we did those.
Yeah. We did the same thing with Mark whenever he came. I honestly kind of felt silly, but that is what I thought. I was like, these pictures are always going to be now precious and priceless to me, even if he didn't stay. But then also, I mean, yeah, we ended up sharing those pictures with his biological family. But I'm so thankful today that we did that, or else I would not have, you know, such special pictures, you know, to us. Okay, so that made you tear up a little bit. So keep telling us about baby girl.
So baby girl, she stayed with us for 5.5 weeks, and she was reunited with her grandmother. On that day that we made the transfer back to grandmother, we were all pretty just...
Oh, we cried. Emotional. I remember at church, everybody was sad.
Yeah, and it was on a Wednesday. So we were just, you know, we went and checked the girls out of school so we could have some time with her before. And it was really like you have an expectation of what it's going to look like, and you get out and it's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, grandmother was crying. We were crying. The girls were crying, you know. And so it was a blessing that it went so well.
Wow, yeah.
And grandmother was thankful for us. And, you know, we let her know that, hey, we're here to help you. We exchanged numbers. And ever since that day, we have had an amazing relationship with grandmother.
Mm.
We are very, very thankful that she still lets us be a part of baby girl's life.
Baby girl's life, yeah, because baby girl was at church just, what, 2 Sundays
ago?
Yeah.
So we get her, we try to get her at least every weekend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we just depending on schedules and stuff. But yeah. She's doing really good with grandmother, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that, you know, grandmother could have told us in December, like, hey, see ya.
You did your job.
Yeah, but... We are so, so thankful for that relationship. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, we raised her, or we had her, we wanted to raise her like we would our own.
Right.
And so during that whole process, I guess I struggled for a couple of weeks, just like, why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to terms that I know how much I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that God loved her way more than I did, and that he was going to take care of her.
Oh, that's so good.
And it is, you know, it's hard to be an adult and just, like, finally, like, get that. Like,
yeah.
I had no control, and I like control. So, like, it was in his hands of what this looked like.
Yeah.
And, you know, today, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, what does this look like in 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind myself, let's just be in the present. Because we don't know what it'll look,
that's
you know.
Right.
Let's just
right.
enjoy today.
So, this obviously hurt because you did, I mean, you let yourself love that baby like she was your own.
Oh,
what, before you even met her, probably.
Yeah.
Because you start, when they, at least for us, when we got the call about Mark, it was during COVID. And so we weren't allowed to go to the hospital until we were picking him up. But to even get prepared for him, I mean, like, you can't help, like, you've run around
like,
town and,
say,
like...
Like, the night before, we were, like, making sure we had bottles and, like, all this. And, yes, it's exciting. You know, you're, like, bringing life into your home.
Right, right. And, yeah, it's a weird, you know, you say excited because you're excited that they're coming, but then you're also scared to death. And then you're, like, mourning because you know that this baby... This is not a good situation, or else the baby would not be being taken away. And so, yeah, I remember just having, like, all these emotions. And then when we left from the hospital with someone else's baby, but now that I love this baby with my life, you know, it's just...
It's really hard. And, you know, they say, like, try not to get attached. But I feel like if you're not getting attached, you're not... You know,
I've told someone, and I didn't realize it stayed with her this much, but it's actually someone who's been on Hannah's Heart, struggling with infertility right now. We'll meet every now and then for coffee, and she brought that up a few weeks ago. She said, when you told me, because she said, I can't do foster care yet. I would just get too attached. And I was like, well, then that kind of lets you know that you'd be perfect for the job.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard.
It is so hard.
It's rewarding and hard at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And, you know, I feel like chosen love is a little different than, like.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
It just comes naturally.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a little, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I was protected from, you know, this is even hard to say because I'm always nervous about Mark listening to these one day. But I feel like at first I did stay at a distance. I completely physically showed that I loved him, but my heart at first was reserved for about a month, honestly. And then he had to have surgery when he was a month old at Le Bonheur. And so we went through all that scary stuff getting there and all that. And then after that, I was like, whatever, you have my heart forever, you know. Yes. And that's what those babies do deserve. They deserve someone to love them like mama and daddy.
Yes, yes. And, you know, even if it's for a short period of time.
I always wonder, I'm not saying that foster parents are more like Jesus than anybody else, but, like, you know that you could possibly, you're possibly going to get your heart broken when you sign up for foster care.
100%.
And you're still willing to do it because those babies, kids, you know.
They need somebody.
Yeah.
Our girl had just went back to her grandmother, and I'd gotten a call. It was the week of Christmas from the hospital. And they were like, hey, we have one that just needs somewhere to go, like, you know, two or three nights. And I'm like, how do you, it's Christmas. And then, like, how do you just.
Not.
You know, they just needed to float between. But it's just like, you know, thankfully they found a family that could have him longer term. But, yes, it's the need is out there.
Yeah. So after this, you don't get to keep baby girl in your home. Would you do it again?
It would depend on the situation.
Okay.
You know, we would like to foster to adopt. That would be our end goal.
Yeah.
But our baby girl right now, I feel like, is like our number one priority. Even though we haven't, you know.
So she's not in your home, but yeah, tell us what you can about that relationship.
So we will get her for the day. Sometimes it's on Sundays, and we'll take her to church. And she's honestly like my third daughter, and my girls think that she's the best thing, which we all think she is, but we literally all fight about time.
She looks like a baby doll.
time with her. You know, sometimes I've had to set the stove and be like 10 minutes, you know, for each time. And then, you know, she'll do whatever she needs to do with us. And then, sometimes, you know, we've gone to doctor's appointments, me and grandmother together.
Yeah.
So it's really good. I couldn't have asked for anything more on that day when we made the transfer. Mm-hmm. So
for grandmother to still allow y'all to be involved.
Yes. And because she could easily have said, thank y'all for what you've done.
Yeah.
See you later, you know.
Right, yeah. Right.
So I think it's really important with foster parents to keep that relationship, if at all possible, because it's just best for the child.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in my mind, I kept saying, we've got to do what's best for her. Even though I don't like,
the outcome,
I want to do what's best for her and what's best for her to succeed in life.
Yeah. Well, and even you being part of her life is what is best for her, even though you could look at that as being really hard, you know, like you have to now acknowledge you have no control over the situation and just be involved how you can, how you're needed, you know.
And, you know, the first couple of times that we got her, when we would take her back, you know, everybody shed a tear. But I think now that we've gotten, you know, we're doing it consistently, everybody knows that, like, okay, we'll see her next, you know, and that's good for my girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially.
Well, I think that it's a beautiful thing. And even watching Jonathan hold that baby girl, she has him wrapped around her little fingers.
He's a good girl, Dad.
He is. So sweet. Let's get on to how other people can get involved. Would you encourage, after your situation, would you even encourage people to get involved?
Yes, I think, you know, of course, you'll hear this from everybody. The system needs to make some changes. Mm-hmm. I think we need, in the state of Mississippi, we need to really do what's best for the child.
And not what policy?
I don't know. Yes, I think policy and laws need to be rewritten. I think if we want to have successful kids in the state, we need to try to break the cycle of some things that occurs. You know, kids going back into foster care a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a family that is good for them, maybe we need to look at a foster family versus biological family. I don't know that family is always the right answer and what's best for the child.
Yeah. Because right now, Mississippi is a very much reunification state.
Yes, yes. And I'm not saying I'm against that. I'm just saying we as a state and the laws, and that we need to make sure we're doing what is really right for the child and what's in their best interest.
Yeah. I even remember with Mark and then some of the other kiddos we've had in and out of our homes, the social worker would literally say, I don't like that I'm having to do this. I don't like that y'all are having to do this, but this is what policy says. And I just remember being like, slam my head up against the wall. I don't care about policy.
Yeah,
100%. If we're trying to do what is best lifelong for these children, you know? And so, yes, it can be.
Yes. But I will say I do not regret it at all. Okay. Because if we hadn't have jumped in with both feet, we wouldn't have had this wonderful baby girl that we get to be a part of her life.
Right.
And so it was the heartache. I remember the day we made the transfer. Parker was like, this is the worst day of my life, and she's six. And now we kind of look back on that and was like, it was a bad day, but like what has came since then is just as good as those weeks we had her in our home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, so Jonathan, your husband, he saw me at church. It was just a few days after. And I think you were at home at this point because he was like, she's just not good sometimes, minute by minute. And he said to me that day, and it just stuck with me because I realized how hard this was for y'all. He said, in just a small way, I feel like I could feel what y'all felt with John Micah when he passed away. And for him to say that, it just showed what a hurt that y'all were feeling.
Well, I've heard some people say, like having a child taken away or whatever and knowing that they're still alive, that is a grief. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you have no control.
Right, right. But you know that they're still here. And then you're like, because I can have, obviously I wouldn't choose for John Micah to have passed away, but I do have a peace because I do know where he is. He's being taken care of. He doesn't need anything.
He's way better than like us taking care of him.
Yeah. Right,
and we think we're the best. I mean, what I'm saying? Like, I don't mean that.
Yeah. But no, what you said earlier is like you have to realize like, God, you do love my children more than I could ever.
And that's hard to swallow.
It is.
As a mom.
Because you're like, no, actually I do. Yeah, like, and I know how things should be done.
Yes. You know? I mean, it's really. And that was like, I guess, me giving God full control. Like, okay, my control is, I don't have a choice but to give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how he uses things like this, like children, to fully teach us and to, I mean, you have to surrender that because that's all we have to do.
There's nothing, I couldn't like call somebody and be like, hey, can you fix it?
Right, right.
It was what it was at the time.
Yeah. So. We've experienced that same.
Going back to your question about people getting involved, there was also a time when, and you've probably felt this, when you find out that you have a foster child in your home, everybody is, like, especially our church and our friends, they step up to the plate and they are bringing you stuff. Yep. And I remember diapers would get dropped off at the door and somebody would be like, can I bring y'all dinner? And I'd be like, no, we're really fine. Like, we were financially fine to be able to do everything. And Jonathan told me, he was like, Lindsay, you have to let the people help because this is their way of being a part of it. And that was, at the beginning, it was really hard because I'm like, I kept saying like, these are like handouts. I don't, like that's not me, like.
Yeah, but it's their way of serving.
And that's what he said. He said, you've got to let the people help. And I remember being like, okay, I mean, he's right. He's bringing a different angle than what I was at the time,
Right.
So that's another way, if you have a foster family that you know of, drop a pack of diapers off or be like, hey, can I get you some dinner? Like, if you want to be a part of their story. So we really appreciate the people that loved on us during that time.
I was going to say, it doesn't go unnoticed. During COVID, 2020 or 2021, I guess, we ended up having three foster kiddos in our home. And so many people at church brought us hand-me-downs. And I had the best time going through all those hand-me-down clothes, you know, that the clothes that were like just going to be done. It was. And it was so fun. And the kiddos that we had at the time, they were 4 and 5, and they were like, this is pure magic. Like, these people just brought me 5 boxes of clothes. You know, it was so much fun. And so even if it's stuff that you're like, okay, you know, this Batman shirt's been worn over and over again. Well, the little boy who might receive that Batman shirt might not have ever had one before.
100%.
And so know that what we take for granted a lot of the times because we have it right at our fingertips.
Somebody else's, it's their treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lindsay, time, like I said, was going to fly by. And we are getting to the end of the show. But do you have anything real quick that you advice, encouragement to people considering getting involved in foster care?
Go out of your comfort zone. Let your heart love kids. Let your heart be broken by kids. But know that you're doing God's work.
Mm. That's so good, Lindsay. You guys, thank you so much for listening in for Lindsay's story. And we like to do this at Hannah's Heart to be aware of Foster Care Awareness Month and to bring awareness to that because it's something so strong on my heart because I have a little boy at my house right now who I get to call son because of foster care. And so what can be such a broken situation, the Lord really can turn it for good. No matter if the child ends up staying at your house or not, he makes beautiful things out of dust if we let him. Thank you so much for listening in on Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you back next week.